Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Yourself podcast in association with Modus. Today, I'm joined by another excellent UL researcher. Elva Dempsey is a PhD student supervised by Professor Stephen Gallagher and Dr. Siobhan Howard. Elva has an undergrad from the University of Galway, a master's from the University of Limerick, and membership in the Study of Anxiety, Stress and Health Lab. Elva's research circles around the role of religion, spirituality and social support on cardiovascular response. Elva, thank you very much for coming on. How are you today?
I'm good, Christy. Thanks for having me.
I got all that correct, yeah?
Yes, you did.
Okay, good. Just double checking. So starting off, religion's an interesting topic because I feel like over the past few generations, it's something that's kind of been declining. So why were you interested in researching this topic?
Yeah, so my interest in this area kind of started during my master's thesis. So I looked at personality and depression and cardiovascular activity. So those that don't know, cardiovascular diseases are the leading cause of death worldwide, and they're claiming the lives of 17 million people each year, and there's no indication of this trend reducing. So there's a well-established relationship between stress and health, and this is supported by the reactivity hypothesis, which argues that repeated atypical cardiovascular responses, so such as increased heart rate, is predictive of future cardiovascular diseases. Okay. So my research now focuses on religiosity and spirituality in cardiovascular diseases. And the research in this area kind of shows that, so if you're religious and spiritual, that buffers the negative impacts of stress. So my research now focuses on disentangling those effects of religiosity and spirituality.
Okay, and then the obvious next question then is, what is the difference between religiosity and spirituality?
Yeah, so I suppose religiosity refers to a system of beliefs, rituals and practices proposed to facilitate a connection to one's divine or God. Okay. So that's like attending church, public and private kind of prayers. While spirituality, on the other hand, is a broader, more subjective approach to experiences, which leads one to search for enlightenment, whereby these behaviours are practiced in alignment with these sacred beliefs.
Okay.
So such as kind of meditation or spiritual breath work and stuff. The important thing is that spirituality can be experienced and expressed both within and outside the confines of an organised religion.
Right.
So people can either be kind of religious and spiritual, religious but not spiritual, spiritual but not religious, or neither.
Okay.
So I think a new term is kind of I'm spiritual but not I'm not religious, because there is now a distinction between religiosity and spirituality.
Yeah, and then so would you say, like, could somebody argue that they could be let's say religious, but then, you know, like a common example would be somebody who would identify as a Catholic but not go to mass?
Yeah, so that's really interesting. And I think it's really kind of really relevant in the Irish context.
Yeah.
Because even, I think it was either the 2022 or the 2016 census, there was 70% of the Irish population identified as Catholic.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing in research is there's a decline in religion. So they're still identifying with the religion, but they're not actually practicing it.
Mm. Yeah, I would think that's because, you know, like Irish people obviously like their identity being Irish.
Yeah.
And there's still a disentanglement between Irishness and Catholicism.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
So you can't say you're fully Irish unless you
say you're Catholic. And exactly. It's definitely from like your upbringing as well, in school as well. Do you know the major things were your communion and your confirmation?
Yes,
and stuff
exactly.
Like that,
so. Yeah. Because I know actually, from my experience now working in the schools, there's still that big issue where there's a lot of parents now, they don't want their child to do the communion and confirmation, but they're completely excluded if they don't.
Yeah, it's so hard to balance it.
Yeah. You know? And so what is the research then showing? So you said that basically religiosity and spirituality, they both help cardiovascular health.
Yes, so they do, but there is mixed findings. So some studies are saying it's just religiosity and some studies are saying it's spirituality, but not religiosity.
Okay.
So there is this kind of tanglement of the results.
And what is their reasons behind why they think that is?
It's because some researchers are using the terms inconsistently and
right.
Interchangeably. Mm. So some researchers are not defining that there is a difference between religiosity and spirituality, and they're measuring religiosity and spirituality, but their scales are literally just capturing religious items.
Yeah.
So it's, they're saying it's religious and spiritual, but there's no, they're lacking measuring how, like, spirituality. And then other ways that researchers are doing it is that, so they're using it inconsistently, or they're also using it as an umbrella term then as well. So not actually defining spirituality. Some are reluctant to say that they are distinct. Mm. I like to think of it as a Venn diagram. So they are overlapping. They have important distinctions, but there is like that middle bit that they are overlapping.
Yeah.
Constructs.
Because, yeah, apologies for like me not knowing much about the area, but I would always associate Buddhism with spirituality.
Spirituality, yeah.
But that is obviously a religion, so.
As well. Yeah. I think it's because the Buddhist practices are a lot similar to spiritual practices. So like breath work and meditation and stuff like that. Whereas for me, before I started the PhD, I always thought spirituality was your personal relationship with God, and then your religion was you went to church and like the outward expression to God.
Yeah.
But now there is a distinction that people can be spiritual and that would have no tie to religiosity.
Yeah. And I think another reason for that as well is because obviously there's a bit of a dark history with certain religions, well, most of them.
Yeah.
So as a result, people want to be religious, but they don't want to be associated with the institution.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that kind of also leads to kind of conflicts between, like, you know, kind of your religiosity, identity, and the, like, knowing the history of certain religions as well.
Yeah. And then so, like, what aspects of religion do you think are responsible for the kind of benefit or the possible benefit of cardiovascular?
Yeah, I think the main aspect would be one, sense of belief.
Okay.
So research kind of suggests that your sense of belief has influence on like your meaning in life as well.
Mm.
Also, if you're highly religious and if you're attending church, you have a strong social support network as well.
Yeah.
So you're more likely to feel support with your congregation and less judgment. So they're the two main aspects. And then also as well, religious individuals are usually healthier, so they adapt healthier behaviors. So they're less likely to drink, smoke, engage in risky behaviors as well.
Okay.
So there is kind of three main kind of pathways in how.
Okay, loads of questions. going back to the belief a bit. So like, is what you're saying kind of the idea of like, when bad things, let's say, happen, when bad situations arise, that kind of having the belief kind of puts you more at ease that like, oh, it's a higher power's purpose for.
Yeah, essentially, yes. Right. So there is positive and negative to this. So there is positive and negative religious coping then as well. So one could reappraise stressor as God has my back, everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Or negative coping would be that one would reappraise a stressor and say, why is God punishing me? And in turn, then it leads to more distress.
Mm.
And then physiologically as well, you will see like an unhealthy, like cardiovascular outcome as a result. So it can be, it can help when it's positive, but it can also have more damaging effects as well.
And then I would also say it's the same thing with the social support, because you mentioned that, you know, less judgment from like your cohort, but at the same time, there's arguably
there's more
judgment.
Yeah.
So it's very
complex to even like disentangle it all. And then as well, then spirituality on top of that, then as well, the inconsistencies.
Yeah, there's two other aspects that I'm thinking of as well. I've obviously it's not something I know about, but like just on the basis of thinking. The first thing is, have you ever looked into the idea of kind of prayer matching with mindfulness?
I haven't, but there has been studies that have done kind of like experimental studies that do prayer like mindfulness. So they do an intervention and then see how it responds to their outcome. And I think there was one study that done it with cardiovascular outcomes as well. And it did show kind of reduced cardiovascular outcomes.
Mm. Yeah, because the idea is like, I suppose when you're like praying, you're kind of, I don't know, increasing your self-awareness.
Yeah, and I suppose you're not really worrying about it either, do you know, and you're really in the moment as well.
And then the other thing is, this is a kind of a more out of the box one, but do you know, like, let's say in mass, there's often like speeches from, let's say, the Bible with Catholicism.
Yeah.
Could you argue maybe that that kind of helps stress levels, because what that's doing is you're kind of teaching people how to live.
Yeah, I no suppose. Way. I never really thought of it that way, but yeah.
Because like I think the idea is, I think people often, like when people say they're not religious, they often say that, let's say, they take a reference from a story from the Bible and be like, that's absolutely ridiculous and irrational.
Yeah.
But then you could argue that, you know, they're metaphors for like life messages.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they all are. Yeah. But yeah, kind of if you read them literally, some of them do seem a bit ridiculous and irrational.
Yeah. And then just like, I know, again, this isn't fully your area, but outside of cardiovascular, like, have you looked at the links between religion, spirituality, and like just like mental health in general?
There is a lot of research within religiosity, spirituality and mental health. So if you're higher in religiosity and spirituality, you've lower levels of depression and higher, obviously, levels of well-being. And it's the same with anxiety as well. And as well, another area that's quite big as well within religiosity and spirituality is patients who are terminally ill as well. So accepting their diagnosis, it's mainly cancer patients,
right?
So that brings them a lot of relief as well, to like accept what's happening to them and to have like this higher sense. And I think it's kind of maybe to accept death, but then maybe if it's their belief that there's life after death as well.
Okay, it's funny, I'm just thinking that I have friends, so many people who would be very pro health, like what can I do to best take care of my health, but then also anti-religion.
Yeah,
and it kind of shows, so that there's
shows
a link there.
Yeah.
And so just to break down your area of study, so like cardiovascular response, now I know obviously everyone will know cardiovascular equals heart, but does that represent stress essentially? Is that like what you're looking at, or what exactly are you looking at?
Yes, so what I'm looking at is cardiovascular reactivity. So that's how your body physiologically responds to stress.
Okay.
So basically that's the difference between your body at rest, so your baseline, and your body during a stress task. So it's the difference between task minus baseline, and it's that change. So from when you're resting to when you're engaged in a stressful task.
Okay, so when you're measuring this, what is the stressful task that you're...
So in the lab, we do an hour-long standardized lab stress testing protocol. So this is kind of the gold standard in the stress reactivity area.
Yeah.
So participants would come in. So prior to the lab session, they would be asked to refrain from exercising vigorously or consuming alcohol 12 hours before the session, and consuming nicotine and caffeine 2 hours before the session. This is just to control for, because all these factors influence cardiovascular reactivity. So then there's a 20-minute acclimatization period in which the participants just habituate to their lab surroundings. During this time, they're connected to the phenometer. So this is our measure of cardiovascular outcomes. So there's an arm cuff that is similar to when you get your blood pressure taken by the doctor, and then the finger cuff that continuously takes measurements. And then there's a formal 10-minute baseline reading. And then for my study, we've done a 4-minute maths task. So it's a serial addition maths task. So we do this because it's an active task, so the participants actively have to engage in the task.
Yeah.
And then as well, there's kind of a social evaluation perspective of it as well. So they're being compared to other participants in the study. And then there's an 8-minute recovery period. So that's kind of the gold standard of measuring cardiovascular parameters in the in the field.
And so I'm assuming then they fill out a questionnaire either before or after based on
spirituality. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay, that makes sense. And so that's your first or second study?
So on paper, it's my second study, but I'm doing it first. So I've spent the last year and a half collecting data. Yeah, so I'm so glad now going into my third year next month that data collecting will be done. So I'm writing up that paper at the moment. So we're kind of in the results section, so I'll just briefly touch on it. So it's showing that our sample is a young Irish sample between the ages of 18 and 25. So it's showing that, and there was 220 participants in our sample, it's showing that there's a decline in religiosity in young people. And this, they don't have any association, religiosity in our sample didn't have any association with cardiovascular outcomes, whereas spirituality did.
Right.
So, and it was spirituality with heart rate reactivity.
Okay.
So not systolic or diastolic. So we have to kind of see now why that might be and see kind of based on previous literature.
So you're looking at social support as well. Like, so is that just like a control variable, or are you looking, could that possibly explain why it is?
Yeah, we haven't in, so in this paper, we're not going to look at social support. We have collected it. We think social support is going to be more so for religiosity.
That makes sense, yeah.
Rather than spirituality, because spirituality is more kind of individualistic, whereas social support is more tied to religiosity.
Yeah. Sorry, just like I'm just thinking as well, like the bigger picture is in relation to like, you know, you could argue as well, like religiosity is like more collectivist.
Yeah.
And then like spirituality, that's on obviously the increase, that's because we're becoming more individualistic, which mightn't be a good thing. But
yeah, that's actually very true.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a whole other project. Yeah, so sorry.
That is, yeah.
And so like, are the implications of this then, I know you're only writing it up now, but are the implications of this that we should be promoting more spirituality then?
Yes. So obviously there would have to be more research to support this. But yeah, so it is showing that spirituality has good implications for your cardiovascular output. And as well, if more research consistently finds this, then there might be, you could argue, then you could have interventions as well for kind of rehabilitation of people that have suffered from a cardiovascular disease.
The intervention would involve kind of pushing them to be more spiritual?
Yeah, so there has been studies that show that people that are highly religious and spiritual recover from cardiovascular diseases quicker.
Okay.
if their rehab involves like their spiritual beliefs.
Okay. And like, sorry, just like, what would that involve? Like, so like, would it be kind of like getting them to promote, let's say, mindfulness practices or?
Yeah, mindfulness, praying, whatever they're kind of, whether they are religious or whether it's spiritual. Yeah, it would be some sort of kind of mindfulness or breath work or praying or.
Okay. Mm. And then on the opposite end of it, so you found that religiosity, did you think that there wasn't an association there because there was a lack of people who were religious?
Yeah, we kind of predicted that religiosity wouldn't be the case for a young Irish sample. So my third study, we're doing a secondary data analysis, and that's with a more mature sample. So we think it's going to be the opposite effect for that. It's just because research is showing that young people aren't religious. So it wouldn't make sense that our study found that religiosity influences reactivity when individuals aren't religious.
So would you argue that, sorry, I'm getting in very much into you making big claims, but would you argue that older people would have better cardiovascular response than younger people because they're more religious?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Sorry,
people are more, older people tend to be more religious,
yes,
but I think younger people biologically should have,
of course,
should have a
but
better.
If you were to compare older people when they were younger people to the younger people of this generation,
I suppose then yes, if they were the same age and the only differences were the religiosity, but then like
there's
it's
so
just
many
so
other
there's
variables.
So many other factors as well, and then as well, the more mature people, like that could have been 30, 40 years ago. Ireland was a very different place then as well. It was more maybe socially desirable to be like religious as well, you know, because it was more of a norm.
Okay.
But it's very hard to say that older people have a...
Yeah. But at the bottom line, like how I'm kind of seeing it is that like religion is definitely a good thing, but so is spirituality.
Yeah.
And like, either one is better than nothing, right? Saying that for cardiovascular health.
Yeah, for cardiovascular health, that's what it's showing.
Not
yes,
everyone has to be, but
and as well, I have to preface that like our sample have the same characteristics. So they're a young, young Irish population mainly, but they're all, as you know, collecting data in UL, it's all psychology students as well. Do you know, so they have similar characteristics, so it is questionable to generalize it to the whole wider
of course. And then You mentioned, so that was your second study. Your third study is looking at a secondary database with older. So what was your first?
So my first is going to be the systematic review.
Okay.
So I'm going to revisit that then once I finish up writing this paper.
Okay. And what's that systematic review looking at?
So it's on religiosity, spirituality, and social support and cardiovascular activity.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Makes sense. This is maybe a bit more personal question. So personally, from doing the research, did your attitudes on religiosity, spirituality change?
I would say maybe slightly, but I wouldn't really identify overly religious or spiritual.
Okay.
So it was just kind of my perspective on it.
Yeah.
Shifted that I think because I don't practice either of them, so I didn't really have any experience only when I was younger like that in school. I suppose maybe I looked at religiosity more as in a negative light, where now I know that it's not in a negative light, that it can have positive health outcomes.
Yeah.
And with spirituality, I didn't really have an opinion of it going in, so it hasn't, you know, obviously now my knowledge has advanced, but it hasn't changed personally for me because I'm not overly spiritual.
Yeah. I still have the stereotype when I hear spirituality of somebody doing like, you know, like a gap year in like Thailand or something like that too.
Yeah. Where I think as well that's quote unquote trending at the moment, but as well like spirituality, it has to relate to something like a higher power as well, like so there has to be a connection to the sacred. It can't be just like you're going to Thailand and your whole personality changes.
Yeah, exactly. And so past those three studies, then that's it. You're not doing a fourth or?
There's talks of a fourth time depending. So it would be looking at religious coping. So positive and negative religious coping on cardiovascular outcomes.
Okay. Is there a specific measure for that or?
Yeah, there is. So it is just positive and negative religious coping by Paramount.
Okay.
And so that is just in the very early stages. It's obviously time dependent as well.
And is your systematic review the first to look at this?
Yeah, the first, there was one in 2020, but that was only in Canadian studies. So yeah, as far as my knowledge, for at least 12 years that there hasn't been a systematic review on it. There was one in 2010, but other than that.
And so you're doing internationally?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're doing all religions?
Yes, that's as far as I know, that's the plan, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So it might be, but it's got to do with cardiovascular health. It's not going
to
be
so that minimizes
so it's going
it.
To it's going to minimize it, and it's going to be spirituality as well. So whether we decide it's just like, will we include studies that just done religiosity, or is it going to be both of them?
Yeah. Did you ever think there could be differences across religions?
Yes, some research looks at that, but again, I think that's beyond the scope of my project at the moment. It would be really interesting to look at, but then again, it's very hard to compare across different religions when there's so many different practices as well.
Yeah.
So like that Buddhism with breath work, like like mindfulness, like, you know, that overlaps as well. So it'd be very, very hard. It would be interesting, but again, that's kind of a completely different research question.
I have a tendency to ask those, but I've actually brought this up nearly in every podcast, but COVID, did COVID have a role to play on how religious people were, the association between religiosity, spirituality and cardiovascular disease?
Yeah. So firstly, COVID obviously impacted religious people as they couldn't attend church.
Yeah.
So that was obviously a big struggle for them. Now, the only studies that I found for religiosity and spirituality in the COVID kind of contexts were the United States. So they showed that people that were highly spiritual and religious were had better health outcomes, so mental health outcomes during the pandemic, and they were less fearful and worried for the future compared to non-religious people.
Okay.
And as well, it was interesting, another study found that vaccine intake, so the people that are highly religious and spiritual, they actually had a lower on average vaccine intake compared to people that weren't religious.
Why?
I'm not too sure why that would be. Maybe it's against kind of their beliefs, or maybe they're opting for a more holistic approach against it. I'm not too sure why that would be.
I suppose as well, the COVID aspect completely removes the social support aspect of religiosity too. So
I'm sure that was a struggle as well, you know, not to be able to attend church and like interact with your congregation.
Yeah. I asked this question to all the researchers. So if you had unlimited funding, let's say unlimited funding, unlimited time related to this topic, or actually doesn't even have to be related to this topic, what would you be interested in researching?
I suppose like any researcher, it would be like a longitudinal study like that, either definitely within cardiovascular reactivity. I'd be open to, if it was religiosity, spirituality, great. But if it wasn't, that's fine. If I had unlimited funding, it'd be multiple kind of psychosocial measures. And I'd be interested in like an intervention as well, longitudinally.
Okay. Yeah. Any idea what the intervention would look like? Or
no, well, if it was along like with my PhD, ideally unlimited funding and unlimited time, it would be got to do with religiosity and spirituality. Yeah. But
do you think, so like I'm thinking now, because you're overlapping obviously not just amongst psychologists and mental health, but you're also overlapping more so probably with the physical health and like doctors.
As well, yeah.
Like, do you feel that if you were kind of like down the line dissemination, do you feel if you kind of explain that to doctors, what do you think, would they be willing to take it on? Or
I don't know. To be honest, I don't think so, because there's a lack of even I think they're so medically focused.
Yeah.
So then to introduce a holistic approach to things, I think they would honestly laugh at me.
Yeah.
But it's a shame, because there is research there to suggest it.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But then, you know, there are obviously medical doctors as well that like are holistic in nature.
Oh yeah, of
know,
course.
So.
Yeah. So I think a mixture of both is always good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whether someone very medically, they might be like, no.
And then second last question then. I asked this to all the PhD students as well. If you had one piece of advice to give to a PhD starting now, take your time answering this, what would be that one piece of advice?
I think starting out, just ask a lot of questions to like current PhD students, and just pick their brain to be fully informed of what a PhD is. And I think as well, have an interest in the area to like just motivate you. That'll motivate you during like the long and hard days to get you through it. But you don't have to be absolutely fascinated by the area either. Do you know,
yeah,
just to have enough interest to keep you going, because at the end of the day, it's going to be 3 to 4 years of your life. So you need to have some sort of interest
to keep you motivated.
Yeah, to keep you motivated.
Definitely. And then, well, maybe last question. Where can people find you, Elva, if they're interested in your research?
You can find me on LinkedIn. So my name is just Elva Dempsey. And then my UL email as well is elva.dempsey@ul.ie.
Perfect. Anyway,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very, very much for coming on. And I hope you enjoyed. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.